Hey, patrons, thanks so much for pledging. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the first episode of Court of Swords here in this behind-the-scenes video. Max, why the fuck did you leave me and Dan, man? What the fuck? We've recorded this like 3 days after, and I'm still pissed off.
Right to the hard-hitting shit.
Yeah.
For me doing said action. It wasn't just, all right, I warned you guys a bunch. I knew this was going to be a horrible fucking fight. We're all low level. Adam is just, he's lust blood. I could tell in the way he was talking. And also you told me, and he told me when we first started this campaign or before we even started, like, this is going to be super cruel. It's not going to be like, you know, oh, you magically get out of this.
Well, there's scenario. No hand holding, I think is the there's best
no
way.
No hand-holding, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No hand holding. True D&D. It's dangerous, even at low level. And so that, keeping that in mind, I'm like, I'm fucked as far as health. If I go there, like, what good am I going to do dead?
I think where we fucked up is when we should have just ran across the bridge at the very, very beginning.
Very start. No, no, no.
We would have been in so much better of a position.
That was, yeah. I think that's what our plan was, right? Like, we
initially said. Yeah, I was like on the bridge, and then I was like, all right, we should fall back. It's like, nope, we're going to charge. And then. And then you made the critical mistake of not getting behind the door. Yeah, that was your major fuck up.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought I was like well out of range. Nope. Yeah. And of course, Adam rolls fucking amazing.
And then, yeah, Adam rolled really well.
Yeah.
Like incredibly. Really like, well. All right, you got like 218 AC is incredibly fucking high. Like on a D20 to roll 18 or higher as many times as Adam did is like astronomically lucky.
Like he was shooting with disadvantage. Angling upwards, like, you know, I'm behind or, you know, far away. It was about the same as if I was in cover, right? Was something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Damage. Every time you mentioned how high our AC was, that's when he crit every time.
18, like, the thing is, 18 is real high. Those skeletons don't have, they don't have a huge to hit. But as often happens with low-level characters, the more enemies there are firing at you or attacking you, the more chances I have to hit you, right? You only get the one per turn. And if nobody's making attacks, I'm just throwing arrows at you. And
Yeah. So fuck archers is basically kind of, we don't have any, like, we got to get you a ranged weapon, Max.
Yeah, 100%.
Because even though it's going to do like D6 damage, if we're standing next to it, you still get your sneak attack on it.
Yeah.
Like in the actual rule set, no matter if you're hitting with a bow, no matter what, if we're standing next to a target and you hit it, you get sneak attack damage for an additional 2D6.
Yeah.
Which that's at this definitely. Level, most things are going to have like sub 20 HP or sub 15 HP and sub 10 HP for the most part.
You know, I was in the beginning when I created my character, I'm going to mention this again, mentioned on the show. I was leaning towards a bow.
Did Adam tell you otherwise? Is this a doing Adam, of the DM?
Him sipping his Mountain Dew sponsored by. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, I was leaning towards that. He's like, nah, you got fireballs. You're fine. You can throw them. I'm like, you're right. I do have fireballs.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just as easily have run partway up the bridge and started throwing fireballs. But I'm just saying.
I thought you were going to say, you could have just grabbed a bow off the ground.
it's tricky at the low level. And plus, there's only the three of you. So you really, like, you're going to find as we progress that the way to win fights is to position Velimir correctly, right? Like every attack roll that Gassy makes needs to be like with advantage or against someone who's also being fought, so you get that sneak attack damage, like burn down those targets.
One of the other critical mistakes that I definitely made, there was a conflict of like RP or game mechanics, and that was with rage, because like if I use rage, I get a resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage, which I think means I get the disadvantage or it halves it.
You take half damage.
Damage from all incoming strikes. So, like, I wouldn't have died to that 7 had I been raging, and I wouldn't have died to the 7 that when he was behind me, I would have still been up, but we probably could have killed that skeleton and gotten Dan up. We would have had to deal with the other one, which would have been tricky, but...
That was my biggest thing about, like, deciding whether or not to leave or stay, is if there was one skeleton... And we had like hit him already once, you know, I might have maybe chanced it and gone for it just to see if I can get a sneak attack, like hide, see if I can, you know, get a sneak attack on him and one shot him. But the fact that there was another one barreling down still, like, I'm fucked.
He was probably coming from the upward flank. Yeah,
exactly.
Most definitely. like that. It was an argument in my head of like, do I want to rage or should I like introduce this narratively later on of like why my character doesn't rage. Also, I don't get any of the damage bonus for viewers out there, for pledges out there, because I'm using a finesse weapon. So I don't get the +2 damage on my attacks. So
yeah, rage is for this character predominantly because you're a dexterity build. Rage is predominantly a damage reduction thing.
Right.
I mean, I would go so far as to say like rage is just the name of the thing, but it could represent all kinds of stuff, like a sort of dervish combat trance. It doesn't have to be like you flip out and rip your shirt off and go all Incredible Hulk on people.
Right.
Yeah. Just an intense combat focus. And it can be applied however you like.
Yeah, like I have an idea what it's going to look like, but we'll figure that out, and maybe I'll use it. I'll definitely use it in today's show.
Barbarians in 5th edition are less the, like in previous editions, the rage had a preset amount of time, and if you killed all of the bad guys in that amount of time, you still had rage left over. You couldn't just turn it off. Like you would go after your friends, whatever, because you're still, you have the bloodlust. Yeah. But that's not so much the case now, so we have a lot more opportunity to kind of like bend it and make it fictionally what we want it to be for Zephira.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, what about you? How'd your first session go? Were you upset that Max left us behind?
I was furious when I was standing at full HP next to, I just buff you, and then out of the corner comes that skeleton,
sniping crits you
across the map, crits me for all my health, and I'm just down.
Yeah, that was pretty, yeah.
And I was like so excited to get on that skeleton and hit him with my hammer because it would probably do bonus damage because usually skeletons have, you know, vulnerability to bludgeoning, but I didn't even get a chance to attack. I was mad.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons. Please lie down on your face with your hands behind your head.
Yeah, you kind of got creamed. What about how many you can cast how many spells per day? Two at level two? One?
Yeah.
Does that go up to four at level two or three?
Three.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you cast, is heal a cantrip?
No, the only cantrip I can that would be useful in combat is my Divine Flame, which I can cast at range.
And that's constant, that you can cast that as many times as you want, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you've got two heals, and even the smallest one is buffed because you have your life domain, right? So you have Healing Word, which I think I was looking at it earlier, is like a ranged heal, like up to 60 feet.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
And it's a bonus action heal.
Yeah, and it's a bonus action, so you can do other stuff. You can attack, cast that, and move. Normally, for a non-life cleric, that's like hard to decide whether or not to use that spell because it's so low. It's like a D4. Mm-hmm. But because you have this big boost, you always get, you know, 2 plus your level in extra hit points. It makes even those smaller heals kind of a big deal, which is cool.
Yeah,
that's a useful spell.
So
life cleric's very helpful.
I don't know if we want to just tell Dan how to play his character, but I think you should only use your spells right now to heal in our current situation.
Yeah, I used one to heal and then one to kill that zombie. So
how many spells per...
Two. He can do two every time.
Well, two of the big ones. Lots of little guys. So the trick here, I'll say this about the zombies. So when those zombies reach, and if you watched the episode, you saw this happen, when the zombies reach 0 hit points, they get to make a constitution save of DC 5 plus the amount of damage they just took. And if I succeed at that con save, and they get a +3 on this roll, if I succeed, they don't die. They just go to 1 hit point and keep fighting. Hmm. So you either have to do them enough damage that I roll under that number, so you kind of take their head off or whatever, or if you crit them or apply radiant damage, which that guiding bolt is. Mm-hmm. So though that bypasses that system. So the zombies, they can be really tough if I keep rolling well every round. They'll go for as many rounds as needed. So having the guiding bolt around is really useful because those guys are pretty tough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think the guiding bolt would be as necessary if you were able to put Velimir in a position to be doing sneak attacks and dropping big damage. So
yeah,
that's true.
The thing is, too, is like I've never played a rogue before in D&D, so it is going to be a learning process for me to just.
Oh
kind
yeah,
of,
yeah.
You know, I'm of course.
Well, I think
the criticism and like you know tips and stuff. I'm new to D&D in general. Like,
I mean, both you and Dan are 100%. I think the thing that you guys will quickly realize is we start gaining a level, and level 3 is where characters actually are able to kill things very fast and very quickly. Because you get access to your I don't know what the actual term is for it, but you get access to like your subclass. And so I think both of you have, I don't know if you actually get a subclass as a cleric, do you? What do you get at 3?
At level three, I'm trying to find what they're called, but yeah, you basically become your real character. You pick one of three things. So like Velimir, we'll learn if Velimir is a thief or an assassin or an arcane.
Let me tell you, assassin is really cool.
Yeah, and they're all good.
A ton of damage. Yeah, if you start the fight, you get assassinated on all your attacks. And I think that automatically, no matter what you're attacking, no matter if we're near it or not, gives you advantage on your roll. And if you hit, you get sneak attack on it.
That's awesome.
So like if you open the fight and they don't know that you exist as a person in the area. So if you start from stealth,
bow.
Yes, you can just fucking be like, boom, I hit with advantage. Boom, it's a fucking 3d6 at level three, which is absurd. Yeah. And I think five is when you get 3d6. So like... Yeah. Rogues are basically like real huge damage powerhouses.
I know it operates similarly and they have their differences, but they also have their similarities with Pathfinder. Like I've done Pathfinder and I've had a campaign on Pathfinder and stuff.
Right.
But again, I wouldn't consider myself a really seasoned, you know, D&D or Pathfinder player regardless.
Sure.
Process for me and I guess I don't know if they're rogue, so.
Well, and that's what these early levels are for, right? Like you pick up the different things that make your character successful. It's just a hope that you survive to learn
about your GM.
Those tricks. Yeah.
So, at level three, Dan will get Lesser Restoration and Spiritual Weapon.
Yeah, like at level three, I get my access to second level spells, and then I have first level spells. And on level two, I get my...
Level two is huge.
My Turn Undead and... Also, my AoE heal that I can do instead of the Turn Undead.
Right. And you get Preserve Life as well. Is that the AoE heal? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Choose any creatures within 30 feet of you. Divide those hit points among them. Wait, so what do you roll for that? Oh,
it's like
five times of your character. Holy shit. Preserve Life is incredible.
Yeah. It's an AoE lay on hands. All right.
We're going to go farm some creatures today. We're just going to go into the forest. And put some fucking food down, and then we're just gonna let Dan get the last hit on it.
Yeah,
and we'll help him with it. Yeah, that's how we're gonna power level.
Yeah,
that's how it's gonna go down.
What was funny too? You were talking about mainly like how the show ended and me leaving you guys and stuff. It was funny seeing how kind of split and divided the chat was, and how like on Twitter and stuff. Even just like after the fact, like we were talking. I was talking about like, oh, last night, like. Hey, tune into the next episode of Core Swords, and somebody tweeted something like, you know, like if you grow some huevos, you know, living. But there was a lot of people too that in the chat were like, "You made the right call" and all that. So that made me feel a little better.
Well, I think to take away any to take away the fact that my character was the one that you left, basically. Mm-hmm. I think had you had fought, we would have died.
Yeah, I think it would have been a TPK for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would have died 100%. And then, I don't know, we probably, both of us would have had to have had saving rolls. And then I think since the skeletons didn't attack us, we probably, had both of us not died, we would have ended up both in the pile rather than just the two of us. But I also got incredibly lucky on the saving rolls as well. I had three successes and we were done. There was death. Like right there, if I rolled 10 or lower or a 1,
you're done.
I was done. Also, alternatively, if I rolled a 20, I stand back up at 1 HP and fight.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that as well. There's that as well. Adam, if I take, what level do you get as a monk? Do you get the thing where you just get brought down to 1 HP? Is that level 2?
Oh, you get kind of like your bonus life thing?
Yeah.
It's higher than 2. I think it's like 3. It depends on how many key points you have, and it's part of that arc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Totally. Okay.
Yeah, I know about that because I did play a monk in Pathfinder.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe I should multi-class, but I don't know.
It makes sense for the character. Multiclassing at level 2 is actually super powerful, because you just get so much. Like
right.
If you spend X amount of sessions playing D&D and you stick to one class, at the end of those sessions, you'll be more powerful if you just do the one class.
Yeah.
But if you want to diversify early on, you'll be a more powerful lower level character. But by the time everybody else is level 10 or 12 or 15, you're going to be lagging behind if you pick up other classes. But even like a level of fighter is hugely useful. You get access to a bunch of new weapons and some some fighting style bonuses and stuff. So, you know, we'll talk more about it when you hit level two,
right.
But that is certainly an option depending on your character's stats.
True.
Like Bellamere, you're real smart. So it'd be easy for you to multi-class a level of wizard into the,
oh, that's right. Cause it depends on your, I think for, it just depends on the certain class that you want to multi-class, right?
Yeah. Each class has one, I think maybe one or two of them have two, but mostly they just have one stat that you have to have at a certain level or higher to multi-class in.
That's right. That's right. I forgot. Speaking
of, like, features, I'm assuming it's the same pretty much. And I know for a monk, Flurry of Blows is really fun. It's really cool. Just being able
to run. That's another level three. Yeah. I've used that before. That was super cool. That was super cool.
Yeah. The bonus of the monk is being able to make unarmed attacks with your like open hand. And, the thing is, all of y'all have like generally both hands full, right? Like with shields or swords.
Yeah.
So it's tough balancing that two points for AC.
Yep. Yeah. In terms of, we'll leave Adam out of this conversation because obviously he knows. What do you guys think is going to happen today? We just met two fucking weird little kids that remind me very much of aliens, or alien or aliens.
If you're thinking of Newt, it's aliens. Yeah.
Aliens. Yeah, the second one. Yeah.
Seemed to me like they're like probably like the last two survivors of the place, and somehow they've been hiding away all this time and are surviving.
Maybe
that's
so.
What I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I hope they're also like hunter gatherers, and that's why they have a bow and they're not just like a fucking badass with the bow.
Or just like they recognize that the town's gone to shit, so they just kind of grabbed whatever weapons, you know, and they're just kind of huddled up and trying to survive. That's what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not like fucking mischievous little scamps.
Right.
Just like, your lunch money, you die.
do we need to get out of there? Do you want to leave the town as soon as possible, or do you want to investigate a little bit further?
Probably wise, unless, because we're still kind of like, we're in a little hut, which doesn't,
we need to rest. We need to do a long rest.
You're down. Yeah, you're down to two of you.
We have both one HP.
Yep.
No spells.
I'll get my spells back.
Yeah.
I'm okay with staying if we have like a pretty much pretty high chance of getting a long rest without being disturbed, like for some reason. Like, I don't know what the...
I'm hoping that these two kids like know where a safe spot is, where we could rest if there is a spot, or so, like, they can guide us out or something. For a bit.
We'll be quiet, you know.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye or something like that. You protect us, we'll protect you for the night kind of thing or something. I don't know, you know. That's the only reason I'll stay. If not, if there's no like safety net there, I don't trust Adam enough. Like, if one of you roll real quick,
they have a lot of skeletons too.
Really loudly, and skeletons come from everywhere.
There's a lot of skeletons there. So
the jungle. I mean, the jungle's a dangerous. Jungle's a dangerous place too, right? It's full of monsters with lions and shit.
Yeah. We were originally going to go to the edge of the jungle and try to get up in the canopy because I don't want to be on the jungle floor. There's a lot of fucked up shit. So I don't know. I guess we'll find out what happens today on the episode, which is about, as of recording, in about 10 minutes. So we're going to get out of here. Thanks, everyone, once again, for pledging. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Feel free to post in the comments what you liked, what you didn't like. This is one of the first ones we've ever done for this. We're going to try to do them for all the shows, and we'd love to make things that you guys want to watch. So let us know. We'll see you on the next episode of Court of Swords. If you're watching live, it's right now. If you're watching on YouTube, it'll be later tonight or tomorrow morning. We'll see you then. Peace.